there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
The Volume.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. It's been a long time, man. Long time since we have had a healthy Dubs team. And we're sitting and talking about the conference finals and not a part of it. Very weird. Really tripped me out today when I opened up my Instagram and like I saw guys walking into an arena. And I'm like, wow, that's when it really hit me. Like, yo, we really done. Like, the season's still going and we're not playing. Start texting Chris DeMarco. Like, yo, this is weird. Like, nonetheless, and saying that, already getting excited for next year, but also things to work on. But more importantly, I would say things to work on and get better at this summer. So looking forward to that. Just to get into some quick business before we get the show started, we are live on Amazon Amp. But as always, if you miss our live show, wherever you get your podcast, you can get it there. If you're watching the video on Bleacher Report app, we thank you. And also, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube, The Volume's YouTube channel. How great have the playoffs been so far? You've heard me talk about all of these matchups, and it's only going to get better. If you're in a city that's still in it, you have to experience this for yourself. I know you've heard me say that, but I promise there is nothing like a playoff game live and in person. And Game Time is the way to get there. For last-minute amazing deals on tickets to your favorite NBA team, check out Game Time, the fastest-growing ticketing app in the U.S. And it doesn't stop with the NBA. Game Time has tickets to MLB, NHL, even concerts and comedy shows, too. Download the Game Time app and redeem code GREEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the Game Time app and enter code GREEN. That's G-R-E-E-N for $20 off. No matter where you live, get out and have some fun this week. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Now let's get into the show. Nuggets versus Lakers. Joker got off 33, 21, and 14. Albeit he had pretty much those numbers going into the fourth quarter. I think entering the fourth quarter, he had 31. 19 rebounds and 12 assists. And so he finished with 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists in the fourth quarter. That is very important. And here's why that's important. The only 2 points he did score, by the way, were the 2 free throws with 10 seconds to go. Or, well, he had 2 with 10 seconds to go and a couple more. But the reason that's important is because we're going to talk some adjustments. We're going to do all of that here. But the reason that that's important is because when guarding Joker, in order to beat them, you have to pick one or the other. You're not going to completely shut him down scoring if you're also trying to take away his passing angles. And if you're trying to take his passing angles away, then he'll go score. So you have to make a decision. When we played them last year, we decided that we were going to take all the passing away. If you keep Joker under 6 assists per game, like, your win percentage goes through the roof. And if he gets above that, your win percentage plummets. Your chances of you winning, but also the actual numbers, it's like night and day. It's like Warriors versus at home versus Warriors on the road. It's like that drastic. And so you have to choose one or the other. And I was a little baffled that he started off the game, I think at halftime, like 17 points, 7 assists, 8. No, he had 10 rebounds in the first quarter. Maybe 12 rebounds or some, 13 rebounds. You can't do that. And so because if he's getting assists and he's scoring, then that means all the other guys are getting off. And if all the other guys are getting off, how do you stop it? Jamal Murray had 30. KCP had 21. Bruce Brown got off. I think Bruce Brown may have had 20 points. Michael Porter Jr. had a good game. And so, like, if you're allowing all of those guys to get off, plus Joker doing what he's doing, you're going to have a very tough time beating them. And so what the Lakers did, and what I'd expect to see more of, is they took AD off of Joker, and they put AD on Aaron Gordon, who lives in a dunker, which is tough for your spacing if you're playing in a crowd like Joker actually plays in a crowd. Lives in a dunker. And they put AD there. Well, what did that do? That allowed AD to stand at the rim, which we know, if you haven't watched either of their two series before, first one being against the number 2 seed, Grizzlies, and the second one being against yours truly, the Dubs. If you leave AD by the rim, that's a problem. If you allow him to stand at the rim, that is a problem. And so they made the adjustment of putting Rui on Joker and putting AD on Aaron Gordon. And AD muddied up everything. It caused some turnovers, a couple turnovers, where Joker was still trying to get the ball to Aaron Gordon in the dunker, but he didn't really have much space. You'd like to see him play in space a little bit more and actually just shoot over the top of Rui instead of trying to get so deep, because if the deeper position you get, the closer you are to AD. The deeper position that Joker gets, he's just working his way right into AD. And then you're trying to throw like big-to-big passes in the paint. AD's length is nearly impossible to get big-to-big passing around AD's length. And then obviously, he tried to get one over the top. That caused a turnover. And when Joker was successful offensively, it's when he's catching the ball in the mid post. Then that allows him to move the defense. It allows, when AD was guarding him, it allowed him to make AD move his feet. Or AD has to give him a step and he can shoot his high archer. It was much better than him catching deep. When he caught deep post touches, like most of the time when you get 2 feet in the paint, especially Joker with his touch, when you catch the ball with 2 feet in the paint, NBA teams are taught swarm because guy's going to score. That is actually to Joker's detriment in this series, because the deeper you are in the paint, the more AD can get his hand on either for a deflection or a block. You saw Joker a couple times had AD in the paint, banged him and actually moved AD back, and AD just put his arm up because there's not much room for Joker to get anything off, and it's not much room for any deception. Like, Joker against AD with AD's length, he has to be deceptive. And when you're that deep in the post, there's no room for any deception. So that's to AD's advantage, the deeper that Joker catches the pass. Joker, whenever he caught the ball, if you remember, whenever he caught it like off the block, he had the quick spin baseline on AD a couple times. It actually got a bucket a couple times, a couple dunks. He got AD to foul a couple times. So it's going to be much. And then if they switch to Rui, if he catches in the mid post, you negate AD if he's off the block, because AD can't get to the AD can't get to block the shot. He can't affect the shot at all unless he comes all the way over. And by the way, if he comes all the way over, now you can get the ball to Aaron Gordon in the dunker, or they'll drop down to help and you can kick it out to shooters. They had guys shooting it well. Jamal Murray shot it well. KCP shot it well. Bruce Brown shot it well. Jeff Green shot it well. Michael Porter Jr. shot it well. So then you're kicking out to those shooters. So they must keep Joker off the deep post. Keep him off the block. He has to play in space, either from the free throw line or mid-post area. In the words of Mike Brown, the Karl Malone area. And if he can play in that area, it allows them better space and it allows him to work more in space and use his advantage, whether it's the advantage he has on AD, which is his deceptiveness, or if it's the advantage he has on Rui, which is not the deception, it's the size. So that will be very important. Jamal Murray getting off. So it's going to be very important that, like, you can't have Joker and Jamal Murray getting off. When you do, they are tough. I expected to see more Jared Vanderbilt on Jamal Murray. I also expected to see Jared Vanderbilt. And here's an adjustment you can watch for. Jared Vanderbilt guard Jamal Murray. Put who you may on Joker. AD on Aaron Gordon. See, there are times in the playoffs where you have to play guys off the floor. And if Aaron Gordon wants to live in a dunker, the Lakers should be able to use that to play Aaron Gordon off the floor because it's clogging everything up. I thought Mike Malone could have made more adjustments, in-game adjustments, one being there was a point where you kind of needed to get Aaron Gordon out the game. In should come Jeff Green. If in comes Jeff Green, now Jeff Green's hitting that corner three. He hit one or two of them tonight. But Jeff Green can shoot the corner three well enough to where you're comfortable throwing it to him and him taking it, and the defense has to react to it. Now, you can ultimately decide that we're going to live with Jeff Green beating us shooting that three, but we all know Jeff Green can make that three, and he can make that three very consistently. So I thought there was a point where Aaron Gordon may have needed to come out the game and Jeff Green needed to go in, and they didn't make that adjustment. In turn, I thought that almost cost them the game because AD muddied the entire game up. But getting back to Jamal Murray and Jared Vanderbilt, if you put Jared Vanderbilt on Jamal Murray and say you have even Bron on Joker, and now you switch that pick and roll with AD at the rim, now you got action. Now you're keeping AD at the rim. You're keeping the body in front of Joker. You're keeping the body in front of Jamal Murray because they also will kill you in that pocket. Joker catches the ball in the pocket. His touch is crazy, and he's one of the best passers in the NBA. So it's lunch meat when he catches the ball in the pocket. With that defensive coverage, it takes that away. It allows you to better contain Jamal Murray. Maybe, yes. Again, Joker's probably still going to get off, but it's okay because you're containing Jamal Murray and you're not allowing the kickout passes and all the other guys to get going. Another thing that really hurt the Lakers, especially early in the game, was transition offense, their transition defense. The Lakers' transition defense is not their strength, and Denver knows that, and Denver was pushing the pace, also taking advantage. For those of you who have never played in the Mile High City, let me tell you, that altitude is real. You feel that. I'd expect the Lakers to be a little better as far as you saw the game went on. They started to get their lungs and catch their wind, but they'll be better with that come game two. But that altitude get you. It's a very real thing. All of a sudden you get to looking for air and it ain't there. It's thin. And all, it's brutal. Trust me. If you've never done it, is brutal. So that's a real thing. That is a competitive advantage for the Nuggets. It was tonight. It shouldn't be come game two, but it was definitely a competitive advantage for them tonight. Lakers should adjust to it now and being in Denver for 4 days or so come game two. I think, you know, they'll be it. But transition defense has still been not been one of their areas of success, I'll call them. In Denver, they push the pace and they convert at a very high rate pushing the pace. I thought the Lakers did a better job of taking away the transition opportunities in the second half, in particular, the fourth quarter. So that was that. Offensive rebounding was another issue for the Lakers. Offensive rebounding usually becomes an issue when you are overhelping. I thought they overhelped on Joker a ton. And some of the overhelping was like, you get caught in no man's land. Like, you're not taking your guy away, and you're not really affecting Joker. Like, if you're going to go help, then just go double. Because if you just sit in between, he's picking that apart. Like, that's what he does. So if you're going to go double, then go. And, like, try to make the passes tougher so that he just has to kick it out instead of actually making a play. But I thought they got caught in no man's land a lot. And getting caught in no man's land, like I said, Joker's going to pick that apart. Another action that the Nuggets ran and got a lot of is called the Spanoulis action. Spanoulis is a Greek national player who played for 20 years, EuroLeague, was drafted to the NBA, either by the Spurs or it's one of the Texas teams he was drafted by. Maybe by the Spurs or Dallas, ended up playing a year with Houston or something of that nature. But he's a Greek legend. And he was famous for this cut that you essentially come from under the rim and you're cutting up the lane and there's a big hole in the ball, maybe at the free throw line, possibly a little higher, but right in the middle of the court. And you're coming from under the rim, so up the floor, and the big hands it off to you. Well, as you would imagine, all the defense is down the floor. So once you hand off, coming out, you're open. Jamal Murray got some threes like that. KCP got a couple threes like that. Michael Porter Jr. got a couple threes like that, but it also allowed them to get downhill. When they got downhill, now AD has to make a decision. I'm going to help with this guy coming downhill. Well, if you help, guess what that opens up again? Pocket to Joker. So they were really good with the Spanoulis action. There's different ways to get into it. A couple times they back screen. Looked like Jamal Murray was setting a back screen for Aaron Gordon. If you don't react to that, Joker's obviously dumping the ball over the top for an Aaron Gordon dunk. And then there's a couple times where that guy is pinning down and he's coming off. And so it's a double pin down. Or you got to navigate the back screen and now he's coming off Joker. Like I said, they have multiple guys who got shots out of the Spanoulis action. If you make the adjustment where there's like a smaller guy guarding Joker, then you just switch that action out and then you still keep everyone in front of Joker. You keep the entire offense in front of you and you are able to make those guys score one-on-one, not getting buckets off Joker's greatness, Joker's dominance. So those were some of the adjustments that I thought could have been made could be made and could have been made. And like I said, remember, you've seen us play guys off the floor in the playoffs. Like, you can play guys off. And like, Aaron Gordon's a key guy. He has some offensive rebounds. He got size. He's the primary defender on LeBron James. Is Jeff Gordon as good of a defender on LeBron as Aaron Gordon? Bron still had a big game. Nobody's shutting Bron down. That's not going to happen. But Aaron Gordon, his stature helps, especially at this point in Bron's career. His stature does help. His size helps. And like I said, it also helped on the offensive boards. So there you have that. The Lakers. I think the Lakers, number one, Bron, if you remember back to our series, I spoke about Bron not predominantly being on the ball, playing off the ball more. If the Lakers want to win, Bron has to play on the ball. They want to win this series. Bron has to have the ball all the time, making all the plays. As you saw down the stretch, You saw some of it in the first half, and the game was kind of close. And then they pulled away a bit when Bron went out the court, well, off the court. Bron has to dominate the tempo. He has to dominate the pace. He has to get the Lakers into everything. AD had a big game. He had 40 points, 10 rebounds on 13 for 21. I also think AD is going to need to take more threes this series. He has not taken many threes in these playoffs. I know everyone always talks, oh, he shouldn't be taking a three, and that is advantage. That is an advantage for the other team. And by the way, if you're the other team, you have to live with that. But I think for AD's sake, also for their team's sake, AD is a good shooter. He's obviously had his struggles, but AD can shoot the basketball. I don't think anyone disagrees that AD can shoot the basketball. And they're going to need AD to soften that defense up some and take some threes. They're also going to, as you saw late, Austin Reeves got going. They're going to need more threes. Why are the Lakers going to need more threes? Because Denver has so much length. You saw Michael Porter Jr. getting a couple blocks. Michael Porter Jr. is not a great defender. But because they have great length, the paint is so clogged, now he's able to catch up. He got a couple review challenge blocks. Some of the interior passing they was trying is tough. KCP, their guard, has great length. Michael Porter Jr., 6'10". Aaron Gordon, great length. Joker, great length. Jeff Green, great length. Bruce Brown, 6'4", 6'10", some crazy wingspan, great length. Christian Braun, all over the place. Plays bigger than what he is. Also, great size. So, the interior stuff gets tougher and tougher. So I think they're going to need some three-point shooting. I would not be shocked if Darvin Ham goes to Malik Beasley and see if he can get something out of Malik Beasley. Malik Beasley hasn't played much during these playoffs. Will he at some point, probably at home more so than on the road, because he's more likely to get going at home than on the road. So maybe that's a game three thing. But they're going to need more three-point attempts just because of the length of the Denver Nuggets. Now, where Bron, who can manipulate a game, can manipulate Denver's defense some, is getting Michael Porter Jr. as the low man. What's the low man? The low man is the last guy on defense, the guy who's rotating over. That's called the low man, weak side low man. So say, for instance, if the ball is on the right side of the floor and Michael Porter Jr. man is in the left corner, then that would make Michael Porter Jr. pull over and be the low man. They can have some success with Michael Porter Jr. as the low man. He's not very comfortable guarding in the paint, sometimes misses defensive assignments and will fall asleep on the weak side action, more likely to fall asleep than if you have a Bruce Brown as the low man or a Christian Braun or KCP, Aaron Gordon. Michael Porter Jr. is more likely to fall asleep as the low man. And bringing Michael Porter Jr. into actions, because he's less of a defender, if you do that, their whole defense just loads up. And they're so accustomed to everyone bringing him into action that they actually know how to guard that. So you need to put him in more uncomfortable situations, and making him be the rotation guy, making him be the guy on a single side tag and different things like that. Those are the things, that's how you can exploit him defensively. And if you can exploit him defensively and get him off the court a little more, that's less shooting that they have because he shoots the lights out of the ball. That can help your defense. So that is also something that I think the Lakers can do. They need LeBron to be dominant on the ball. It's not necessarily that he's scoring, but they need him making every play. They need to manipulate and get Michael Porter Jr. in help situations. That's how you can exploit his defense. That's how you can take advantage of it. That's how you get less minutes from him. That is how you ought to, when you start talking about the chess match, right? Like you always hear people talking about the chess match. That is a chess match move. I also think I saw a little bit of Darvin Ham going back to AD whenever Joker's in the game, making sure AD's on the game, I would not be afraid to take advantage of some of those non-Joker minutes with AD on the floor. I think you can create some separation in doing that. So I do understand why he is on the floor, you know, why you want him on the floor when Joker's there. But in saying that, I think you want to take advantage of some of those non-Joker minutes with AD on the floor. I also expected to see more offense-defense subs, especially from Mike Malone, down the stretch in particular, Coach Malone. They were taking advantage of Jamal Murray. They were putting him in every screen and roll, and they were dominating. And there were a couple times where he could have taken Jamal Murray out and maybe went Bruce Brown, maybe went Jeff Green. I would go Bruce Brown. And they just left Jamal Murray in. In turn, he ended up with five fouls, foul trouble. That'll be something to watch for. Immediately from the gate, they're going to bring Jamal Murray into pick and rolls. Now, Jamal Murray said after game one of Phoenix, are y'all going to take me serious? Like, at what point do I have to stop proving myself? And quite frankly, never. You always have to prove yourself because that's just the game we play, and it's what have you done for me lately. And then he struggled for most of that series. So we're going to have to see Jamal Murray put together another game or two or three in this series. Starting with game two, they're going to need another big game from Jamal Murray. But another way to slow that is to bring him into actions the way they did late in that game. Now, all of a sudden, you wear on them legs a bit. Now, all of a sudden, you're making him guard. And he's not just playing one side of the floor. That is something that I would expect from the Lakers. And I'd expect, you know, maybe they'll go into a show. Maybe they'll go Jamal Murray on Dennis Schroeder. And so where you don't have Austin Reeves popping and making the shot. They also can go, if he pops and they go into a full rotation, that would be the next man in line rotating over. When I say the next man in line, say if LeBron James runs a pick and roll. Austin Reeves sets the screen on Aaron Gordon. Austin Reeves pops. Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray is now in action. If Bron throws that ball to Austin Reeves, say Dennis Schroeder is on the other wing. A full rotation would be Dennis Schroeder, man, taking Austin Reeves. Then say there's a guy in the corner, Rui Hachimura. Rui Hachimura's man will now rotate to, who was the guy? Dennis Schroeder. Jamal Murray would then sprint all the way out weak side to get to Rui in the corner. That would be a full rotation. You can do some of that. But the Austin Reeves-LeBron pick and roll really hurt them late. Then you also may say we're going to live with Austin Reeves hitting that shot because three-point game, and they needed it, and he missed it. So you can depend on that. But it's dicey because Austin Reeves' threes actually was a big factor and them getting back in that game. So you can say, all right, we're going to make Schroeder hit it. We'll show with Schroeder. But what's not the answer is just switching it. Because he's going to get in foul trouble much sooner. They're going to work on those legs. And as he continues to take those bumps, those legs go away. So we'll see where they go there. Another big thing in the game, and end up being costly. Joker's three at the buzzer. Jamal Murray's three at the shot clock buzzer. Those were 5 points at a time in the game that were very critical where the Lakers were making a push. And those were just like, it's like if a guy's making, you know, if you're in boxing and a guy's making a run, all of a sudden they get hit with like a tough body shot to slow him down a bit. And those were just like tough body shots for the Lakers. And ultimately what ended up being a 6-point game, that was 5 points. That very unlikely 5 points, you play great defense and they hit tough shots. Got to give them credit on that. Can't overreact to that. But I definitely thought the Lakers found some things to be able to exploit this team this Denver Nuggets team a little bit more. We'll see how the adjustments go. We'll see what adjustments they decide to make. But one I definitely expect is AD on Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon, you cannot just live in a dunker. Another thing that the Nuggets will be able to do with that is possibly run Aaron Gordon into some screens. Pull AD away. You got Aaron Gordon rolling. He can finish. But can he make the play out of that consistently? I personally, if I'm the Lakers, I'm going to live with Aaron Gordon making the play and not Joker. Like, we know Joker can make the play. So you got to live with Aaron Gordon make the play. And can he beat you? And can he make the right decision enough if you're the Lakers? I don't know. We shall see. And I think that is all of my adjustments or things on the Laker game.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode.
Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but...
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
In other news, we had the draft lottery today. Very happy for Coach Pop. As you all know, Coach Pop is my guy. We won a gold medal together. Got nothing but love for Coach Pop. And then also know that Victor Wembanyama is going to have an incredible coach that's going to teach him the NBA game, that's going to require him. He's going to one of the best developmental staffs in the league. Although, and Coach Pop knows this, I would think, and everybody should know, losing Chip England. Which was a year ago. It's a tough thing. Chip is great. My guy Chipper. But the best developmental staff over years in the NBA, one of, I would say. You know he's going to have a seriousness about him. You know he's going to be taught how to be a great pro. He's going to be taught how to read the game. I think it's absolutely incredible. And we also know Coach Pop's history with number one picks. Big man, that's number one picks, to be exact. The last one being Tim Duncan, who we arguably top five player in NBA history. So I was happy to see that for Coach Pop. Watch out for that. Congratulations, Coach Pop. Congrats to the Spurs on taking the number one pick. There has been a lot of talk on is Wemby the best prospect since LeBron. I've saw some people say he's the best prospect ever. Is he the best prospect since LeBron? I think we'd all agree. Is he the best prospect ever? Of course, everyone's going to say that now, but let's not forget how big of a prospect LeBron James was. LeBron James was a phenom from 15 years old. LeBron James was the number one pick as a 15-year-old. I can't quite say Victor Wembanyama was number one pick as a 15-year-old. So although we like to move on fast to the next thing, I'm just not going off the rail and saying he's a better prospect than LeBron. However, he is probably definitely the best prospect since LeBron and probably the second best prospect ever because LeBron's probably number one. Also, we tend to forget what type of prospect LeBron was because he did the unthinkable. What we thought of him as a prospect, he actually outlived and outdid what we thought of him as a prospect. So it's very easy now in today's day and age to say, oh, he's a better prospect than LeBron because you forget how big of a prospect LeBron was because of how much he's done. But LeBron was a huge, crazy prospect. So that's that. Jackson asked me how many players would not be traded or would not be traded for Wemby in the NBA. I'm not sure how many, but there's definitely a few. LeBron wouldn't be, Steph wouldn't be. Can't say, I don't think Luka would be, Joker wouldn't be. And I think there's a few more names out there, but maybe 480, how many players is NBA now? It used to be 450, now you got two-way spots. So let's just say for the sake of standard roster spots, 450 spots, 435, 440 would be, which is saying a lot, saying a whole lot. Wishing him the best. Congratulations, kid. You've been drafted to the San Antonio Spurs. Absolutely incredible. Going to a great franchise. Good luck. In other news, Coach Kerr, and you probably just saw me speak about this on Stephen A's World, so I'll be pretty brief here. But Coach Kerr said in his interview, if Draymond's not back, we aren't a championship team. He's that important to winning and who we are. I definitely agree with that statement. And then he also spoke on the Jordan Poole thing, and I also agree with that statement. I was happy that he spoke on that. If you want my answer, you can go check it out. Like I said, I'm not going to do the same thing here. You can go check it out. It was a very in-depth answer of my thoughts. Quick synopsis was that, yes, I do agree we'd still be playing if that thing didn't happen. I gave reasoning for why I agree with that. And I was very appreciative of Coach Kerr speaking on that because I'm just not one to hire from anything. But in saying that, if Coach Kerr never speaks on that, it's also hard for that to ever come out because I'm not going to be like, I don't want to be the guy who's like, well, this, and this on a situation that's wrong. I don't feel that that's right. And so it allowed me to speak on it. It allowed me to now move on from it, like really move on from it. Like you put it behind you during the season and you try to build things and move on. But now it allows to really like move on. And like there's still work to be done, right? Like Jordan's still my teammate. Like I still have some repairing to do, like and attempts to repair. Ultimately, you know, being up to him and what he's open to. But it's on me as a leader. It's on me as teammate to continue to try to make that right. And his feelings are his feelings. I saw his comment where he said, listen, it's basketball. I agree. It was business. It was basketball. And it's always going to be that because at the end of the day, we are teammates. Like, as long as we're teammates, it has to be that. But it is my job to try to better that. And, like, let's face it, like, if the video never comes out, is it here? I don't think so, right? Like, so I think that was a huge, huge thing. One that made it really hard for him to move on from. Will he ever be able to move on from it? I don't know, but it is on me to try to make that happen. But I'm happy to, like, be putting that behind as far as this goes, like, and, like, moving forward and working to do the things that we need to do to win a championship again next year. That is my focus. That is my goal. Happy to be done with that. Before we get out of here, Ja Morant, I saw Adam Silver speak, and Adam Silver looked crushed. He sounded crushed. I know he is crushed. Because Adam is a player's commissioner. Like, have been since day one. And so a part of him, like, I'm sure it's just crushed, like, because he's like, come on, man. Like he said, they had a long conversation, and it's just, I thought we were, like, past this, and we spoke about it. And so now it puts Adam in tough, and Joe Dumars puts them in such a tough spot. Like, what's the punishment going to be now? And, like, you have time. Like, Ja don't have a game coming up. You have time to make that decision, but it is going to be a substantial one. It is going to be one that affects the Memphis Grizzlies season. It is like, I'm not, again, I've had my mistakes. Like, obviously not that, but I've had my mistakes. I'm not one to come on here and condemn, and you shouldn't be doing this, or you shouldn't be doing that. I don't condone what Ja has done. But what I will say is, I saw a couple of people screaming, like, lock him up. Lock him up. Like, it's actually not illegal to have a gun a lot of places in America. So to just start screaming, lock him up, like, you all actually don't know if he broke a law. Like, you actually, like, you don't know if he had a license. You don't know if the gun was licensed to him. You don't know. Most people probably don't know whether it's an open carry state or not in Tennessee. You don't know where he was. And if he was in Florida and it's an open carry state, like, you don't know none of those things. So the whole, like, lock him up, he's a thug stuff, like, let's stop. Let's stop it. Now, was he wrong? Absolutely. You can't, like, stay off. I just don't understand, like why they're on Instagram Live so much. Like, I just don't get it. Like, by the way, once you were in trouble the first time on Instagram Live, you guys probably should stay away from Instagram Live. Like, it hasn't proven to be beneficial at all. And so everyone's saying it's irresponsible. Of course it's irresponsible. Like, you have a following, and you're trying to build a business, like a substantial sneaker business. Kids drive sneaker sales. Kids' parents buy shoes. And those children's parents aren't impressed with what they're seeing. So it's like, stop it. Or don't build the business. It's unfortunate that this keeps happening. It's unfortunate because it's giving off like this gangster type vibe. Like, it's giving that. And like I said the last time, I'm not going to come up here and say, Ja, you're not gangster or you're not this, because I don't know him well enough to know what he is. I don't know what he does in his spare time, neither do you. I don't know what he is. So I'm not a gangster. So it's also like, I'm not a gangster. I'm a basketball player. So I can't speak on like who's a gangster and who isn't, because I'm not. So how can I speak on that? Which oftentimes I tell you people, you don't know basketball like we know basketball. So you probably shouldn't speak on that. It's not my space to speak on whether Ja's a gangster or not. I'm not. I don't know what like would qualify him or not, because I'm not. I don't make those rules. I don't live by them. That's not my space, so it's not my place to speak on that. But like, at some point, though, you just can't keep doing that. And a lot of gangsters I do know aren't flashing guns on Instagram. Make of it what you may. It's unfortunate. I hope he figures it out. I don't think he's going to stop carrying guns. So I hope, like, if that's his thing, that's his thing. Like, again, it's not my place to whatever. If that's his thing, that's his thing. He probably won't stop, but stop showing them. Like, at some point, you got to stop showing them. Like, that, it's actually getting you in trouble. It's actually getting to a space to where if it continues, could possibly cost you in a career. And, like, way too talented, way too special for that. So, like, at some point, you got to stop showing them. I don't know. We'll see. I wish him well. That's a wrap from this episode of the Draymond Green Show. I'll let y'all later. Peace.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast hosts Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.